Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate your being with us tonight. You know, I'm not so sure it's... actually, I am sure. I think the old dotting of the I's, crossing of the T's, Z's, putting slashes through the S's if they're next to fives, and crossing sevens so they don't look like something else. I think that's a good idea. Actually, the thing about our rob banks, because that's where the money is. This is no diss against our guest, Dr. Steve Pachenik, but that was Willie Sutton. Appreciate you, Andrew, for pointing that out, because I got to tell you, gangster quotes are just not really something I keep up with. I really don't. But anyway, let me give you those websites, just in case you want to check them. Dr. Steve Pachenik's site is stevetalks.tv, and also NBI, that's November Bravo India Health, nbihealth.com. And then the first hour, we visited with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. He is naturalnews.com and healthranger.org. If you don't catch this stuff when it's being spoken over the speakers, then you can just go to coasttocoastam.com. And if you'll just search shows and just pick the show that you were listening to, it'll give you the music list. It'll give you the websites of the guests and everything else. It's all right there. And while we take our next little floating break here before we go on with your calls, I'm going to see if there are any Dillinger quotes that are worth mentioning, okay? All right, we'll be right back. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. You know, this is the beginning of the, what I like to call the Zombie Jombie Weekend. And tomorrow night, we're going to talk with Tom Shadyac. He is a film director. He's done a bunch of stuff. Liar Liar with Carrie, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and a bunch of other ones. And I'm looking at his book right now, Life's Operating Manual. Apparently, he had a pretty close brush with death. And I'll tell you, there's nothing that'll give you an appreciation for life like the like a little brush with death. You know, Grim Reaper just reaches over toward you with that bony finger, and you just kind of lean away from it. As long as it doesn't touch you, you're good. But anyway, we really look forward to visiting with Tom tomorrow night, so plan to attend, if you will. Now, I got a couple of Dillinger quotes for you. Here you go. Now, nobody get nervous. You ain't got nothing to fear. You're being robbed by the John Dillinger gang. That's the best there is. That's one. There's another one. These few dollars you lose here today are going to buy you stories to tell your children, great-grandchildren. I'm putting in the accent. This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last. And then, of course, there's the straight to the point one, which is, okay, boys, let's go make a withdrawal. And let's not forget, they're not going to get me. Oh, well, they did. Wildcard line number one, Mark in Asheville, North Carolina. Isn't that the furniture capital of the world or something?
Well, at one time it was, until all the industry started pulling out and going south.
Gotcha. But Mark, what's on your mind tonight? How you doing?
I'm good. I've got a question. I'm fairly new to Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah.
And I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding the false flag operations. I can understand the concept, like applied to 9/11 or something, but when it comes to what the guest, Dr. Steve, mentioned about Sandy Hook being a false flag, I don't understand how that can take place, and where these children that were supposedly murdered, where are they now? You know, how can the CIA or anyone else fake something like that? I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, I appreciate your asking, Mark. You know, the thing about it is I don't know. I wasn't there, but I did see a couple of things that that got my attention. They it just seems the timing seems odd to start with, because there was a big we got to rope these firearms in. And then there was the, I've said this a dozen times, I'll keep saying it until we find out what happened to the guy. I wish somebody would pay attention and just, you know, at least give us a clever lie about it. But there was I want to say it was WABC's news helicopter was streaming video. They were airborne, and the camera was focused on this man running away from the school. He was dressed the same way that Adam Lanza was reportedly dressed, which was half camo and half black. Well, you see the cops get him down on the ground, They got them all spread out there, and they're taking them into custody. And the next thing we see is he's talking to the TV news camera, and he says, I didn't do it. Not to mention the fact that he is talking to the camera from the front seat of the police car, which is unusual because normally the policemen will put people in the back seat, not in the front seat. So that was odd. And then there were some videos that showed up. And one of them was, now let's be perfectly clear here. People have different ways of dealing with grief. This is not predictable. There was a story that I've spoken of before where two people were at a cemetery and they observed two young men just slugging it out with each other, just wailing on each other. And the woman who was there with, I want to say her grandson, said, no, they're not fighting. That's grief. And so that's the way it is. Some people, I mean, when people are really upset, they laugh hysterically. So, but there was a video where one of the purported parents seemed very amiable, affable, and otherwise in good spirits, and got progressively more depressed as he approached the podium. Now, whatever the authenticity of that video might suggest, it did grab the attention. And of course, this fueled the flames for what is clearly a an attempt to get some reasonable gun control here, which, please, there's only 300 million firearms in the country. Good luck with that. If you went around and rounded them all up, all you're going to do is create a huge black market. It's probably easier to get a real Russian AK-47 that goes, blah, 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 blah. You know, a lot of bullets come out with one squeeze of the trigger than it is to get something legally now. And everybody knows that where there's a will, there's a weapon. A criminal's going to get one. So it set off that whole thing. And so as to whether or not nobody was lost, no children were lost in that incident, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one. All I know is I have the willingness to look. I also know that the news media has been known to blow things up out of proportion or understate or absolutely ignore other things that are quite significant until pressure's put upon them. And so it's just another little brick in the wall. It's another brick in the wall between us and our authorities, whom we would really very much like to trust, but we find it to, many of us find it to, most of us find it to be difficult. In fact, I think the last percentage that I saw on this was that 46% of the people surveyed in the United States think America's best days are behind it. So it's one distraction after another, and the agenda moves forward. And the agenda is control the drugs, illegal and legal, control the food, control your movements, control your travel, and control your productivity. Create and disappear money with the stroke of a pen. And as far as false flags are concerned, we've discussed these before, but I don't mind a little recapitulation here. You got the battleship Maine was blown up by ourselves, or it was a boiler, but in any case, it was not an attack. Got us into the Spanish-American War. The Lusitania was supposed to be carrying armaments, and that helped pull us into World War I. Pearl Harbor, I don't know about, but it's been bandied about over the years that FDR knew all about it. Many people said that we spent decades building up Japan's war machine by shipping them scrap metal. It's been widely circulated that Howard Hughes's H-1 monoplane was adapted by the Japanese to make their Zero. Then there was the Gulf of Tonkin for Vietnam, and then there was 9/11 that started off this whole thing in the Middle East. So it appears that false flags are not unknown to the powers who want to create turmoil in furtherance of power, and then the money follows. Basically, in the end, it's all one big bank job. I hope that cleared things up a little bit, maybe. And thanks for calling from Iron Mountain, Sean on wildcard line number 2. How are you, Sean?
A little worried.
Yeah. What are you worried about?
New World Order and the Nazi connection and looking into my childhood. I'm adopted and to German family on my father's side. And my dad always went to my grandma's grave every birthday, holiday, when it was her birthday, Mother's Day, Christmas. Never missed a time. Told me she worked at Wright Pat in photo analysis. And, you know, I'm exposing a lot on Facebook, and I'm really scared. I'm taking heat, and it's hurting my kid. He's getting straight Fs, and I think it's got a lot to do with this. I live in a town. Their pub's the Frosty Goat. Their courthouse is on Cyclops Street. Blackwater stickers on vehicles where they have a ride where you ride a zip line across the river. I'm scared. The Zodiac's their flag in our town, Iron Mountain. Florence is the one that's got all the Frosty Goat and the Masonic courthouse that looks like a Dracula house with a Masonic checkerboard steeple on Cyclops Street with a Frosty Goat pub down the road. I'm scared. I'm German. I got somebody watching me on my Facebook that's German. On Sandy
I'm
Hook,
not getting the German connection, Sean. Hook.
No, I'm not joking.
No, I don't think you're joking. I'm missing the
Operation Paperclip.
Yeah. What's the German connection, though?
Me on Facebook.
Can you hear me?
Hello,
Sean. Sean, what? Sean, what? Sean, what? What's the German connection, though?
Okay, they closed down a country. They keep the wall up, but we won the war, right? The victor spoils the. You know,
right.
So the Knights Malta, the UN flags on my Facebook, it's all explained. And this guy, Ralph, that's got a tag. Okay, look at the name, Sandy Hook. Look at the name, Dark Knight Rising. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
This guy's watching me on Facebook. He friends me. And then after Sandy Hook, another Ralph Bleicher friends me, but he's in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the other guy's German. And he's sporting a Malta tag, and I go through his photos, Bethlehem. I'm telling my kid about the Red Cross and the feelings I got about them. And a truck, you know, I literally say that I think they're spies working with the Knights Malta, and it goes way up the chain.
How old is your kid?
It's all revenge for the Pope, the coming out about the Pope, and the, it's kind of like revenge for the...
Gotcha.
How old am I? I'm 38.
No. How old is your kid? How old is your kid?
My kid's 13. I'm really scared, babe. I really am.
Well, listen. Well, now, wait a minute. Bear up there, brother. Now, listen to me. Don't worry and do not fear. Do not fear. Now, sometimes we build these things up in our minds to the point where we're just about to snap, but you must not do this. And I'm telling you, a lot of people say, oh, you're right-wing this. It's like, oh, whatever. You don't know anything about me, really, except what I say over the air. And if I've given a choice between right or left, yeah, I go a little bit to the right. So what? Somebody could very easily say, well, given right or left, I go a little bit to the left. But I always go back to the scripture. And just so happens that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, it says, with much wisdom comes much sadness, and he who multiplieth wisdom multiplies sadness. Some versions say pain. So, moderate, do not fear, and you know, don't, here's the thing, in dealing with your child, I would just say this, because I'm not a psychologist, but I would give you this advice. Remember that when a little child falls down and skins their knee, the parent looks at it and gets that look on their face like, oh my gosh, that's what scares the child. It's not the skinned knee. It's not even the bloody knee. It's the look on the parent's face that scares the child. So, steady up. Don't worry. And Facebook can be a liability. Facebook is a lot of fun. I know a lot of people who enjoy it. They put their vacation pictures up and they share and they stay in touch and they organize little events and things like that, and that's fine. It's not for everybody. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe the thing to do is just bail off of Facebook. And by the way, I had a personal Facebook page up there, and a lot of my friends from the old days, showed up on there, and I ran into one of them the other day. I said, you defriended me. I said, no, wait a minute. No, you defriended me. I said, look, I defriended everybody. It's not because I don't want to be friends. It's because I couldn't make the bloody thing go away unless I did defriend everybody. So apologies to any friends out there that were defriended and thought that, oh, well, he's just, he's on Coast to Coast AM now. He doesn't want to be friends anymore. No, it's just that there was too much information going there, and I just don't, I don't carry my cell phone with me everywhere I go. I don't want to be tagged and photographed so that every restaurant that I frequent and every park that I want to sit and have a quiet moment at is all documented to where it's like, okay, well, we can probably run into John B. at about 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoons over there by that that willow tree. I'm not going to have any of that. So I just bailed off of the thing. And if you have to give up something if you want to make a change, and I miss talking with my friends, but in the interest of privacy and security, I just decided to leave it. So bear up, Sean. Don't worry about it too much. Worry is the thief of time and is of very little value other than wasting your time. Let's go to Chicago. Jim on wildcard line number 3. Jim, how are you?
Hey, John. God bless you, man. I was just listening to you. I agree with you 100%. But I just want to put out about Sandy Hook. Weren't the first reports about he had an AR in his car trunk?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So if it's in his trunk and there's a guy running in the woods, what actually happened in the school? Okay.
No way of knowing.
Exactly. That upsets me. Right now, the reason I really called was I believe we are living under the bloodlines of Satan. How is that true? I'll tell you how it's true. Cain and Abel were twins. Is that going to blow your mind? It's a biological fact that can happen. I believe Abel, of course, of Adam, Cain of Satan himself. It says Eve was totally beguiled, and that's the way it went down. And people don't like the Bible. Hey, let's talk about Sumerians. What is Sumerian for Sumer? It's land of the fallen. We're the fallen. They're fallen angels, okay? Any way you cut it, we're screwed. Evil is running this place, but like you said about the light, that's where we go. I told Alex this as well. I believe in the Father that made me and his Son that saved me, and that's where we're going to rock this damn thing.
Well, I think that's right, and we will not. Just don't roll over for it at all. Just resist. You don't have to go wild in the streets. But you resist. You just refuse to participate. If it's bad for you, you just don't participate. That's all we can do. I mean, some people, they don't have a club or a stick or something to bludgeon with a person with physically. So what they do is, some people use their vote to bludgeon people with. Some people use their attitude in traffic to bludgeon people with. Just, it's time to turn away from all that stuff. We've sat in a very comfortable chair for a very long time. We've had it very, very soft in this country. You don't have to go very far to find nations and countries, and they are different, that have had it much worse than we have. Well, guess what? There's going to be a little payback for that. And so we're just going to have to cowboy and cowgirl up a little bit and decide what we're made of, what we'll tolerate, and what we won't tolerate. And I appreciate your call very much. And we'll come back with some more of your calls. Good grief, what a fast 3.5 hours. That's the way it always is, because the mothership is fast. This is Coast to Coast AM. In for George Norrie tonight. It's a pleasure to be with you. Mark Knopfler, isn't he just a fantastic guitarist? Just so such friendly playing. Very easy on the ears at this time of the night. I just decided not to do that Black Moth Super Rainbow thing. I'll save that for Saturday, or we have Sunday to recover. Some of you have to work tomorrow. And, well, anyway, we have people in the UK. We have people in South Carolina and California and Virginia and one in an undisclosed location. And we're going to do our best to get to you all. So I'll be brief and just go straight to the break, and we'll be right back with your calls. Naked Lines Friday night on Coast to Coast AM. East of the Rockies, Michael in Virginia Beach has been holding for a while. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding, and welcome to the program.
And thank you for the best hour on Coast to Coast in 15 years, the first hour tonight. There's not a man in this audience who loves his daughter, his wife, his mother, his aunt, his sister, who will not make a copy of this first hour tonight and give it to each one of those lovely women in his family. Now, this week, the most interesting statistic to come out over the news wires was presented by Barbara Boxer in an interview that she gave to CNN. And here's the statistic. She said there were 26,000 sexual assaults in our military last year. And here's the bomb. Half of those assaulted were men. Now, here's my question for John B. Wells. John, given the very relatively small percentage of service people that are women, do you think that those men who were sexually assaulted were assaulted by women or by homosexuals?
Well, I think it's pretty hard for a woman to sexually assault a man. You know, I'm just saying. The fact of the matter is, I don't know. I know that sometimes men are assaulted sexually, and the people who are doing the assaulting are men, and they're not homosexuals. Some people just have done that in the past just because they can. It's a power thing with them. It has absolutely nothing to do with preference. It has everything to do with power and dominance. So, you know, war is hell, and the byproducts of war and conflict like that is sick depravity beyond anything you can possibly imagine. It's absolute madness. And other than that, I don't know what to bring to this party by way of a comment.
But you raise a very interesting question and a perspective on this. I'm hoping that you will do a program in the near future where you will bring on the experts and we will talk this through. And maybe you'll even invite Barbara Boxer on.
Oh, that'd be a blast. I'd love to get Barbara Boxer on. I doubt very seriously if she will come on. But Barbara, if you're listening, Senator Barbara, you're welcome to come on the program and we'll fence a little bit. Okay. Hey, Michael, thanks. That was fun. That was a fun call. I mean, you know. Sort of. Well, Jay is in Greenville, South Carolina. First-time caller. Hello, Jay.
John, let me just say it's an honor to speak with you, and you've got an amazing radio voice, but that deep, you know, James Earl Jones quality you don't really hear nowadays.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
No problem. Honestly, let me just tell you, I'm ADD, so I've literally got, I could stay on with you for an hour, but that would be rude to all the other callers, and including yourself, so I'll try to make 5 points or so as fast as possible. A few callers ago, the guy Sean, the 38-year-old with a 13-year-old daughter who was going through the whole New World Order paranoia, and he started crying.
Yeah.
Let me just tell him, if he's still listening, anxiety breeds anxiety. And, I mean, if you're strong in your faith, then the anxiety should be put to rest. If it's not, get on your knees. And then the caller came right after him about the whole Cain and Abel being twins. Where in the Bible does it say that? And we're not rabbits. It's not like Eve can get impregnated by Satan the snake and then impregnated by Adam the human and have two children born at the same time. I'm wondering scripturally, how is he backing that up? Where anywhere does it say that Cain and Abel were twins? I mean, that's off the subject. This is just my first few points. Oh, also, just a little fun fact. I don't know if you know this, but over here on the East Coast, there's a 48-second delay from where your radio is broadcasting to where, you know, when you're on the phone. Normally, if it's a radio show that's on the East Coast, it's, you know, 8 to 12 seconds. Just fun fact.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I wanted to talk about was the metal markets nowadays. Like, I'm a carpenter by trade during the day.
Yeah.
And any of the scrap metal I get, you know, I take to the scrap yard, and then that scrap money I use to build up my collection of gold, copper, and silver bullion. Because it basically takes you out of the financial game. It takes you out of the paper money, you know, world of finance, because the dollar is losing power literally by the minute. I mean, we're spending, what was this? It's the statistic, we're spending roughly $3 million every 90 seconds.
Yeah, something like that. It's terrible. My whole thing is it seems like everybody's going to have to get on board that train, because if you try and use your physical gold as some sort of a medium of exchange, how do you get your change?
No, here's the thing. Let's be realistic. Let's say that there's some economic apocalyptic happening that's going to happen 72 hours from now. Do you know what's going to be valuable, John? Peanut butter and jelly. Blue beans. Someone that can change your oil when you can't. Someone that can fix your roof when you need it. Services will be so much more valuable than gold and silver. But it's fun to collect, and it's like a slice of a legacy you can leave behind for your kids. And
well, that's true.
The main thing I want to talk about, though, was like the currency issue. I'm a numismatic ninny. I like to collect a lot of coins and stuff. I'll try to be brief. Australia abolished their penny. Shortly thereafter, Canada abolished their penny. There were rumors about the U.S. abolishing their penny, but it didn't happen. But in 2012 and 2013, the coins didn't come out in the beginning of the year like they normally do. I know this because I buy them early every year.
Right.
They didn't come out till mid-April, which is shockingly late. I mean, you're in the middle of the second quarter. My question is, have you heard rumor about the whole Amero? You know, kind of like the Euro?
That's been going around for a long time.
Then the world would have two kinds of currency. You would just have the Euro and the Amero. And then what happens when we have the New World Order and we just have one currency? What happens if that market crashes? Does the world go crazy?
Well, now there's a question. But do you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that maybe this Bitcoin thing that we're hearing about may be the beginnings. It may be the prototype of the global currency for a couple of reasons. Number one is, of course, it would be universal. And the second one is because it's an electronic medium of exchange. Gee, how easy would it be to manipulate the money markets then?
With the hackers we have today, it makes you wonder, who thought of that brilliant brainchild? But I mean,
I don't know.
So many things. It's also that, you know, your First Amendment right for speech or assembly, or so that you can believe whatever you want to believe. It's literally a fight. It's like you can't write an opinionated editorial which allows you, you know, the ability to flex your First Amendment rights without people giving you so much flack. Like, my thing is, like, if I like to do creative writing, and anybody else that likes to do creative writing, you know what I say? I say, write down all the thoughts you can write down now before Dianne Feinstein puts ballpoint pens on a fan list while she stockpiles 10,000 of them in her closet.
Okay, my brother.
I'll let you go to the other callers. I really appreciate what you do, though.
Hey, it goes both ways. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right, let's go to a Skype call. We have Dan in the UK. Dan, if you're there, come on.
Hello, John. Great show. Just before I start, I just wanted to say thank you, Coast to Coast. You're a bastion of truth and a bright beacon in the sea of darkness.
Well, thanks for that, sir.
I just wanted to talk about manifesting change, John. I've noticed, this, you know, I'm quite a good observer, and I've traveled the world, I've traveled America. You might wonder why I'm calling in from the UK. Well, because essentially what happens over there happens over here, and we're kind of in the same boat. But I've kind of noticed, like, there's a certain zest that's missing from our society, like the wind's gone out of our sails, and I just feel as though we need to find our courage again, because there are, you know, like one of the callers that called up earlier, he was scared and anxious and a little bit paranoid, but you know, we've kind of lost something, and we need to find it again. And I think one of the ways we can find it is, you know, we need to recognize opportunity. Now, you know, I've been to a few protests in my life, and I've written to my you know, the equivalent of your congressman. And for the most part, you know, your congressman replies back with a generic reply. So as a change mechanism, I don't see that as one. And the same goes with protests. Protest is like a way of working things out, as I see it. But nine times out of ten, well, nearly always, you hit a brick wall, and that brick wall is the police. And there's no one, you know, you're protesting to people, but the people that you're protesting about are not there. So I don't think protest works either. And, you know, I don't think the government is serving our interests anymore. They're acting as our big brother, you know, to protect us, our protectors, but they're not. You know, this is a guise. This is a kind of illusory to some extent, because you know, they're threatening our very livelihood then, and our pursuit of happiness. And, you know, it says in your declaration, you guys probably know your declaration, obviously, but it says there, you know, whenever these threats of liberty and happiness are threatened, it's our right to to institute new government and lay the foundation of such principles. And that's an important point. And I think we're at that time now. And so, you know, the question is, John, how do we create opportunity? How do we create opportunity? And we need to keep going there because the time is now. We need to get real. We need to embrace these truths and this morality that exists within us because it's under threat. It's really under threat. And, you know, one of the things I've been considering, and I think about this on a daily basis, John, with regards to finding a solution. And it's hard because all these avenues of change have been closed down. You know, you mentioned, you were talking to Alex Jones about, you know, this is just another example of what you're talking about. The Department of Defense issues new instructions to quell large-scale unexpected civil disturbances. Again, this is a door closing down on public discontent. And that's what it is. It's not disturbing. There's no such thing as a civil disturbance, in my opinion. It's discontent being aired, you know? So, you get me? So, you know, one of the options, I think we should, because that's another threat, as is the police, then we should avoid civil disturbance. Just find your open spaces, find the numbers, gather on a weekly or monthly basis en masse in an open space and educate each other. Allow the natural leaders to emerge within that group, you know? And allow communicate to each other and create the understanding and the understanding of how to initiate change and put out these fires of parasitism and corruption and unadulterated greed. And we know the rest. But I think that would work. And if we could create that springboard, then we can start to initiate change. Because to be honest, John, and your listeners, I think the solution is simple, and I think we need to start afresh. We need to start the whole thing, start again, and design an infrastructure that we know will work and learn from our lessons of old, introduce common law again and true democracy, not this illusion, this puppeteering show of left and right, you know, bouncing back like a pinball machine.
That's true. Yeah, well, you know, for every measure, there's a countermeasure, and the countermeasure begins with independent thought. So that's why it's easy to come off sounding partisan when you're sitting in this chair. I don't care which side is doing it, but it's interesting. We criticize all politicians and leaders whom we feel deserve scrutiny and some criticism. But it's funny. It's just human nature. Many people only hear their favorite politician or whomever being criticized. They don't hear the other ones being criticized. Just the ones that they like. And there's a disconnection. But I would suggest that to amplify what you're saying, I think the disconnection needs to occur between ourselves and the apparatus of illusion. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, This is a tricky situation we're in. There's no doubt about it. But we need to learn to master how to create change, how to initiate change. And I don't think protest, which is a form of begging, if you ask me, is going to work. And I don't think writing to your congressman, again, a form of begging, is going to work. We need to get clever, and we need to use the numbers so that we can get to a point where we can say, stand down. You know, so we can approach people in positions of power and literally to ask them without violence to stand down with a million voices behind you.
Yeah, it could have some effect, couldn't it? Dan, thank you so much for your call, and I appreciate it. I wish I could spend more time with you, but we're just about to run out of show, so I'm going to try and grab Draco, wild card line number 4. Draco, you're in an undisclosed location. How are you?
How are you, sir?
Excellent, thank you. I mean, I feel fine.
I got you on the speaker because I'm at a prayer tree right now. I believe I have less than 30 days to stop this.
Stop what?
What we're talking about, the One World Order and all these things. I've been head on with them for 17 years, and I've survived everything. But
yes.
I've gathered evidence on everything you've been talking about, and I want to thank some of your hosts who gave me all the connecting data I need to do my job.
Well, if at any time that you feel like you can share the information, please send it to us in email form. And we'll look at it, and we'll see if we can get the word out.
They've got me under spiritual attack. it's difficult for me to focus on doing the things on the computer I need to. I can't tell you anything else except that I work for the International Council of Peace.
Excellent. Well, shoot me an email from time to time and let me know how it's going, and I'll get any word out that you think ought to be gotten out. I'll take a look at it and see what I think about it, and if I think I can get it in, then I will. I do have a discerning eye, and I'm open to just about any suggestion given the state of the world, and I appreciate your call very much. Got time for one more real quick. Let's go to Christian in Los Angeles, wildcard line number 5.
Oh, hello, John. How you doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Yeah, this has been an interesting night. What a surprise. And last night I was having a conversation with a neighbor, and I was just telling him, look, I think the people who are running the world are essentially the global bankers and the oil companies, because look at how much power the bankers and the oil companies like BP, for example, have so much power. But it's really interesting how it was mentioned that really our public officials have no accountability of their screw-ups. When President Kennedy, for example, apologized to the American people after the Bay of Pigs fiasco and said, look, I'm the officer in charge of government, and I gave the order to go, and I take responsibility for the screw-up. And you see, really, it's not since JFK, but every other president and politicians have not taken personal accountability. Look at the Benghazi thing, and it's just playing around the blame game. Nobody's taking accountability, saying, look, I was the one in charge at the time. It happened under my watch, and I'm so sorry. And I think that's what Hillary Clinton should do, is apologize and say, I screwed up.
Yeah, it would be nice if somebody would offer up some genuine accountability instead of doing the ceremonial falling on their sword. Hey, you're the last caller for the night. You want to tell everybody bye? And he did. All right, then. Hey, listen, it's been fun, everybody, and tomorrow night, Tom Shadyac will be with me on the Saturday night soiree. His book is Life's Operating Manual with the Fear and Truth Dialogue. So we'll enjoy talking to Tom tomorrow night. I will leave you with this quote. A standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have always the instruments of tyranny at home been. That's not John B. Wells, that's James Madison. Thank you very much for being here. Have a pleasant day tomorrow. And be ready for tomorrow night. Until then and beyond. Good night and be well.